Hey, what's up, everybody? We got the Common Allies up in the house.
Hello.
Hello.
We got Connor. We got Ryan Ash. They are twin brothers.
We are. We're currently living in Southern California, Long Beach. Garbage everywhere, and even better people. But it's nice to be in a place where you can compare the garbage to the people.
And that's why I'm having these guys on the podcast, because they're my buddies, and they're low-key hilarious, but I'm not going to put that on them.
He's backing me into a corner here.
Oh, my God. But anyways, we met at Hugo's Frog Bar in Naperville.
For you local folks.
And these guys were living in Naperville, full-time musicians, and I suppose we just crossed paths one night. I think I might have been playing outside or inside.
Yeah, you were definitely. It was a very packed-in night behind a piano. Brent can usually fit behind a piano pretty well, but we have a little bit of a harder time with that. So he was kind of showing us the ins and outs and, yeah, showing us how to work the mixer, and they got to get rid of that piano. They just... If you ever go to a Hugo's Frog Bar, you'll know what I'm talking about.
I like to move around a lot. I like to use the loop pedals and everything, but there I just have to do straight up acoustic. And I would share some video of my performance there, but there's nowhere to put a video camera. And I don't want all the, you know, folks paying for fine dining to like feel like there's a camera up in their face if I'm like sticking it around the corner or something.
Sometimes it's just inevitable. You know, yeah. The good thing is that when you do that in L.A. County, like, you can just get really mad when people walk in front of them and be like, hey, I was recording.
Did you influencer?
My TikTok followers are currently getting very disgruntled at the fact that you're interrupting the stream, okay?
You know, it happens at gigs, it happens at the gym, it happens in front of other people's cars. We'd be like, that's not even your car, dude. Like,
no way. I think, hold up, y'all don't see that around here, do you?
Not really, no. I guess it depends on where you are. Maybe like in, you know, Naperville, St. Charles area, you might see something more akin to that. But it's not even that common in California. I guess like of course we're in SoCal, but you know we play a lot in like San Juan Capistrano, which is in Orange County, and you'll see it there sometimes. It's not too common to see it in Long Beach, though.
Yeah, one of the reasons why I'm even doing a podcast, I don't do them all the time, but I actually am planning to line up some more coming up. So if y'all haven't subscribed, please do that.
Follow Brent Brown.
But really, the only reason I want to is because I enjoy podcasts so much. And I think it was probably on the Rogan one where I heard that LA is pretty much filled with like just a bunch of people who just really want to be famous.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And so you go, that's what a lot of people
and
go there for.
Since TikTok is so freaking, like, it's like a golden ticket if you do it right.
Everyone with like a smartphone thinks they're in the Truman Show now, you know, like everyone who has a
aren't
phone.
Aren't they?
kind of, essentially, yeah, I don't really,
but, you know. But, you know, everyone who pulls out a phone is just like, it's just like, all right, what's happening today in the world? You know, it's my world, everyone's just living in it, that sort of thing.
Oh, and it's quite bad there. It's quite bad there in that sense because, people from Instagram actually think they have talent. So
some of them do. You know, some of them do.
But, of course, like, that's not to say, you know, I mean, we're not going to... Yeah, but let's be real here, Brent. We're not just here to just completely, you know, talk smack about the place where
no,
we're currently
absolutely
living.
Not. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not.
We're not talking smack. I'm just saying the way it is.
You guys put so much work into your music in your performance, and it shows. And first off, I want to compliment these guys. Please go check them out on Spotify or iTunes, any streaming. Check out the Common Allies. I was just listening to some of their music before they came over here.
Well, thanks. And I actually believe him when he says that, too.
And the thing about it is I will go here and like tell you what all the favorites are, but really you should just listen to it because they're the kind of musicians that anything they're going to do is great. It's enjoyable. They're running it through their filter. That's what I do. But when I listen to them, the way that they harmonize, the way that they... Well, they don't play anything they don't like. And that's kind of how I like to roll,
that's
too.
That's the truth. That is the truth.
Thank you.
Yeah. So I can say the same for you, though. I mean, Brent is always killing it absolutely with the Lupin. I personally have a copy of Dreams and Drugs, which is my personal favorite album of his. I've put it on the turntable a couple of times.
We have a signed copy.
Hell yeah.
We do. And I absolutely loved it. I popped on the cans and given it a couple listens so I could hear all the nuances, and he's truly a creative dude through and through.
I appreciate that, guys. You know, the thing about pressing a vinyl is that you pretty much aren't going to make your money back unless if you've done it before and learned how to make your money back, I think. I'm pretty close to breaking even on what I paid for to buy them.
That's pretty good.
But at the same time, I'm not so opposed to if somebody gives me a $20 bill or something like that. Yeah. I might just ask them, do you have a vinyl player? I want people to have these things, you know, and I had to buy so many to even, $250 was the minimum order. That's kind of a lot of vinyls.
That's a lot of wicks in your closet.
Yeah.
I don't know if they do any, like, made to print. There might be a way to go and do that formula, but if there is, I don't know.
I wanted translucent purple, and I wanted a lyric sleeve.
Mm.
And the only way to do that was a minimum of 250 orders, because they have to set up for that process, as opposed to if you just want straight up 12 inch, maybe not even 180 gram, like I got the thick ones, you know, if you want just 12 inch regular plain old vinyl, just put a cover on it. I think you could do smaller orders on that.
Yeah. Even just like how people are kind of switching to print on demand for like your shirts and your merch and that kind of stuff, like made to order sort of thing. I know that there's like businesses you could partner with to do that.
Dude, I just signed up for Amazon's. Now that you say that, I have an email. I
didn't know Amazon was doing. I should
know. No, they do. They do. They've actually been doing it for a while.
Grab my coffee real quick,
please. I actually just looked at Amazon. So I was getting my portal set up. It's pretty much like a Spotify. I mean, they're really. Amazon tries to defeat everybody.
Oh, yeah.
It's absurd, dude.
It's the major. Now I'm going to sound ultra California.
Do it.
It's the major goal of, like, the corporations, man.
Yeah, capitalism's gone awry in many different areas.
Oh.
And,
more for me and less for you, damn it.
Jeff Bezos is destroying the middleman.
Jeff Bezos doesn't own Amazon.
Well, okay, I keep on forgetting that.
No, I don't.
When did that change?
I don't think he's been the CEO for like over a year now.
Well, who currently is?
Actually don't know. Probably his ex-wife.
Good for Jeff. No, that's awesome. Good for Jeff. I mean, that had to be pretty tough to do.
He probably just went over to become a tech overlord.
Yeah, he just wants to bro down and enjoy the rest of his days in sunny Oklahoma.
Have you seen that video? Seen that video where he's doing like the Dr. Octopus?
Yeah, I was about to bring that up.
Have you seen that? It's amazing. It's literally Jeff Bezos is using like AI to like move what's essentially like those Spider-Man 2 Doc Ock arms. And like, you'd think that someone who's doing that for the first time might kind of go like, oh, this is fascinating, man. The fact that I can control this, but he literally looks at the camera and goes, ha, 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 ha. It's like, gee.
And he looks this guy has,
yeah, right? He does look like Dr. Evil.
I don't see any reason why you're probably not going to see Jeff Bezos in some damn movie coming up. It's going to be some freaking movie, and Jeff is just like, I want to act. And they're like, we can't say no to you.
Yeah, you have the money.
And everybody knows who you are, so, like, you're qualified. I mean,
they got to do a tournament now for, like, the boxing matches coming up, because whoever wins in the Mark Zuckerberg and Elon Musk boxing match has to fight Jeff Bezos.
Jeff Bezos is the final boss.
That's not in the cards, but it needs to be.
Did you see both Elon and Mark are practicing, I think, jiu-jitsu?
Jiu-jitsu? They are. They're doing, like, MMA.
The Lex Friedman podcast is another one that I listen to, and that's an awesome podcast if you haven't checked that out. He's super, super freaking smart. He's like an AI robot programmer, and he's young. And he's been visiting, like, you know, the war zone out in Ukraine and, like, interviewing people, and really kind of one of those people who you could picture being a hero in a book by being, like, a little bit naive, but just smart enough and like, he's just a good guy, man. I believe it was him who was wrestling with Zuckerberg in one picture that he posted, and then another one he's wrestling Elon.
So we're not talking metaphorically here.
Literally.
This is really happening.
Literally, after you see Lex Friedman wrestle Jeff Bezos, officially they're all qualified to fight.
So is this the end of the world or the beginning of a new era?
I was about to say, it's like, you know, I was talking about this a little while ago, and there's a couple points I want to make here. I think that we are kind of, especially, you know, with the writer's strike, so I'm not going to claim to know every little in and out of that.
I don't know shit about that.
I think Ryan has some idea.
It's pretty fun, honestly.
It's a whole lot of fun, you know. It's like George Carlin style. It's a big campaign. Everybody's enjoying it. But
the writers are having a blast right now.
I think it could hopefully bring about a new golden age.
It's almost
age
good
for
material,
art.
Probably.
It's either going to be that or. You know, it's like you look back to the 90s, you remember when Celebrity Deathmatch was like a fun little goofy thing, you know, it's like Beavis and Butthead have cameos. It's like now Celebrity Deathmatch, that's eventually going to be the U.S. elections.
Oh, my God.
And the first one to win is going to be Jake Paul.
Yeah, no kidding, man.
He's gonna be the president, and he's gonna beat the shit out of whoever he.
I would say, oh,
he's running against.
I'd say, oh, the humanity, the grifters are gonna be the political leaders of the world. Yeah. Oh no,
what a new concept.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, I mean, whoever most of the population's gonna listen to, don't they win? I mean, unless if you kill them or effectively shut them up. I remember owning Alibaba stock and then watching him come out against the Chinese government and then he disappeared for like 3 months or something like that. Like, and there was like a report that said he's fine, and it wasn't even like a good picture. You couldn't even tell that it was really him.
It was,
and
blurry,
like,
there were bloodstains.
And then you didn't see him for like another like tons of months, and the stock was just at like nothing because the CEO was just gone, and everybody's like,
where the hell is this guy?
You see him issuing a statement with a gun, like, clearly in frame to his head?
Yeah. He is fine. He is alive. Yeah. That's all we can tell you.
So, I really am kind of, you know, I hate to get into the political, anything related to it, but I don't, because I feel like a lot of people don't really know what, like, CBDCs are and that sort of thing, especially for a service industry. They're going to have to raise whatever they're paying servers if they introduce something like a CBDC, because think about all the tips that servers are making that, you know, across the country that they're probably not saying anything about.
You're going to have to do is you're going to have to assume that I don't know what a CBDC is.
Central bank digital currency.
Okay, interesting. Yeah.
And essentially you can program the money that it's so you can't buy certain things that you could hurt people with, or like they want to watch out for like combinations, like, oh, if this person, but now we can track and see everything that they're doing and we can like flag it and not let the transaction go through and stuff like that.
It's just to have total control over all the currency. That's what it's for.
Isn't this a beautiful thing? We like this.
Yeah.
We want
Isn't
we-
it fun? Don't you want this?
We like this. We love this.
That's what China's doing. And anytime I see a place that's going to take like their Amazon.com CEO and just scare him into saying nothing anymore, I'm like, I really don't want that type of whatever they're doing. I don't want to copy what they're doing. I would rather like maybe even do a little less good, but you know.
Let's try and, like, you know, stay away from being a democratic nation that, like, you know, is saying that it's not a command economy, but, you know, we know that it actually is a command economy, you know, like China, you know, like.
Yeah, yeah, but at least once in a while see something come out where they're like, protesters do something smart in China and it exposes something. I'm like, keep doing that, y'all. Like, please.
Bring some of those protesters here. Our protesters are all idiots.
Yeah.
And anybody who might be listening, God love you, who might be able to actually in an educated manner, you know, challenge any of the perspectives we've been pushing out there. Keep in mind, this is a podcast. We're just asking questions.
Yes. Yeah. And that being said.
It's a podcast about music and pop culture.
Well, that being said, I don't even, I'm not even somebody who would protest. I wouldn't protest. I think that the best thing you can do is be the best version of yourself and whoop ass at whatever you're doing.
And defund the police.
Well, whatever, man, whatever. But whenever you get to the point where people listen to you because they respect you, then you can sway opinions.
Mm-hmm.
That's way more effective.
Well, there's a lot of people who are arguing for that now, and I think that that's a good thing because it's a turnaround.
Yeah, protesting is just like, come on.
Well, there's a difference between like individuality and
selfishness. You know, like when people kind of, I think people kind of are conflating the two. It's just like, when people say, like, you do you, they mean, like, take care of yourself, because when you take care of yourself, you're better at taking care of the people around you, whether they're related to you or just people that you run into on a day-to-day basis.
Be able to control your own environment before attempting to control
anyone. You have more control over your own personal environment, which allows more control to spread through other people's environments, and the more people that do it, the more it becomes a reality. But I think that what people think is they just think, like, I'm doing me. I'm living my truth. I'm going to screw over whoever I want, and it's going to be cool.
I'm going to perpetuate my bullshit because, by God, I go to therapy.
And because I deserve it.
I deserve this. This is a good thing.
So okay, it's like, that's not quite the same thing. I think you got to backtrack just a little bit.
For sure. For sure. Let me just pop up one of the few things I even wrote down that we could talk about. and by
we're
the way,
spouting off, and we haven't even looked at the sheet.
By the way, if you're still listening, make sure to if you're like, I hate whatever you're saying right now. Well, maybe keep giving it a go. Maybe it'll get better right now.
We are very sarcastic in a lot of what we say, so take everything we say with a grain of salt.
But whatever you do, make sure not to miss the end of this show. Even if you got to skip through, because you're going to get a performance out of these two. And
it's either going to be the best part or the worst part, so.
No, it's going to be the best part for sure.
Jeez, you're such a sweetie.
Oh, my goodness. Well, it's true. It's freaking true, and anybody who knows you guys would say the same thing. So anyways, you're movie buffs, though.
Oh, we like
you
to think
seem
so.
To be.
Here and there. I still haven't seen Con Air. So people give me so much shit for that. They're like, you love movies and you've never seen Con Air? And I'm like, I love Nicolas Cage.
Yeah, I was about to say, correction. You love Nicolas Cage and you haven't seen
it. And I have no idea why I still haven't seen Con Air.
Ghost Rider, baby.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Day.
I have seen that, which makes me a movie connoisseur.
That right there is Sam Elliott's best performance.
Oh, my gosh. Yo, so I'm really not a movie buff. So if we got too heavily into that, I would certainly not follow a damn thing you're saying.
It's possible. I mean, what's your favorite movie, Bryn?
Dude, all I can tell you is that Christopher Nolan, anytime he releases a movie, it's always my, like, latest favorite thing I've ever seen. Because everything he does is balls to the walls.
Absolutely.
So what did you think of Oppenheimer?
I'm absolutely thinking of Oppenheimer. And you and Connor posted about it. Or maybe you did.
It was I.
And anyways, I was like, dang. Like, I wouldn't want to see Oppenheimer at all unless if it was Christopher Nolan.
Really?
Because I saw, like, one of the behind the scenes on how he actually shot the explosion. Mm-hmm. Like, and just scaled it up and shot it with, like, the original camera they filmed the nuke with.
Mm-hmm.
They did like a big propane ignition sort of thing.
But it blew my mind because it was like 1,200 frames per second or something on like an analog piece of movie recording. Mm.
An IMAX camera.
Yeah, but I mean, that's insane because like you look at what the technology was and whatever it was, like 1949, I believe.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it amazes me how much footage they still retain for all of those tests.
They've colorized the Trinity test. If you look on YouTube, it's colorized.
Did you just check that out recently?
I have seen it, yes.
Nice. Well, you get into something and you start researching it, and, you know, a lot of people say that there was a gent, Rich McCarty, which, shout out to Rich if he's still with us, and an absolutely wonderful prof we had at University of Iowa back when we were going to school. He said, your generation's the smartest generation because you don't have to go to the library and sit researching databases and, you know, looking through books to learn about something. It's like, you want to learn about anything, you have it in your pocket. The second you want to ask a question, you can ask that question, you have the answer right away.
The second we need our misinformation, we just need to go on Google.
Exactly.
I believe Ford back in the day was actually put on trial, and he was essentially being sued by the state or something because they thought he had too much money and that he wasn't even smart enough. He didn't even know what he was doing. Like, what? And he's like, he essentially proved in the court, this was his argument, that if I need anything, I know exactly who to ask. I find that retaining facts is an absolute waste of my time. The most valuable thing you can do is to know where to get the information when you need it.
That's a really good point.
And we all have
where to
in
get
our
the
pockets.
Resource.
And my best buddy, Nick, he straight up, he was working somewhere. He said, when it's not his current job, so don't fire him. he said to somebody who asked him a question like, oh, what's this? And he said, check the master database. And I'm like, oh, where's the master database? He's like, Google.
Yeah, and it is. I mean, it truly is.
I've used that line so many times.
I always say, let me consult Dr. Google.
Yeah, but well, just no, wait. Pretty soon it's going to just be called the master database.
Yeah, it really will be. Oh, my God.
If Bezos gets bored and he's looking for a new trademark, you know.
He's just going to buy Google and change it to the master database.
It'll just be like a little logo of him with his stuck octopus arms conquering the world.
Yeah, but I hear that, you know, it's funny that a film like Oppenheimer could become as successful as it was pretty much off of, like, memes, but also because of the fact that Christopher Nolan was the director.
I think that's the only reason that it got that much
the marketing
attention.
It was
because of the Barbie memes. Yeah. Like, it was like a double feature. Like, they both came out on the same day by two respected directors, and they were two, like, diametrically opposed movies.
That's kind of a beautiful thing, though.
It is, because that's kind of almost like the new word of mouth. But did you hear that Disney's actually releasing a George Washington biopic where they're going to race swap George Washington? He's going to be black.
Really?
Yeah.
You're full of shit.
Who was it? It was Prince. I saw the musician formerly known as Prince on an interview.
Rest in peace, Prince.
Yeah. And I don't want to get this name wrong. I'm going to sound like a dang idiot if I do, but it was like Andrew Jackson or some shit. It was somebody like that, you know, back in the constitutional writing days. And before they declared the actual title president, there was somebody filling the role of president before George Washington.
Like sitting commit, like standing commander.
And apparently this guy was black.
Mm-hmm.
And so...
You're not talking about Douglas. Sorry.
Maybe. But anyways, somebody was the sitting president. And you can find Prince talks about first presidents or something. Mm. You could probably find it if you search.
Refers back to that fact.
But it throws a rock in the narrative of like the whole like how could a black man be the president? And
in
so
days, yeah.
Prince, for sure, he seemed like he thought that was the truth. And, you know, I hope I'm not mincing his words, but I remember, like, looking into that, and some people thought, oh, no, he was, like, you know, just very dark skin. I'm like, okay.
He went to Hawaii.
Yeah.
For, like, several weeks before, you know.
Yeah, but...
He was just some Puerto Rican guy.
when it comes down to, like, history, I would not be surprised if there are some, like, shocking things we didn't know. Like, absolutely
shocking. Oh, yeah.
Shocking.
There always are. And I mean, like,
I think George Washington was black? Probably not.
Well,
but
being that there were portraits of him when he was alive, I'm going to say probably
seemed
not.
Seemed pretty pasty. Seemed like he had some cherry cheeks.
Yeah. Yeah, well, of course, the thing that the crack he just made about Disney, you know, that was a joke. He was just kidding.
Of course.
Yeah, but how bad is it that I didn't even...
You wouldn't even question it.
That's the problem. Therein lies the
actually
the problem.
It's a project that's coming out soon. It's directed by Jada Pinkett Smith, and it's going to be a big success.
Oh my God! See,
Netflix is
Nolan, though, dude.
Yeah. No, people actually like his movies. It's because he's host.
I gotta say though, there was something weird about it being so close to now. Happened, and there's like real people being featured, and I've always loved Albert Einstein. The fact that they portrayed him in that, I'm just like, ah, Albert Einstein, you know, they portrayed him so well.
He was in association with Oppenheimer and did, you know, give his opinion on some of the mathematics that ultimately led to the...
Let's not spoil anything, by the way, too. Let's just...
Oh, I mean, this isn't just me spoiling.
This, of course,
movie.
Is something you can read anywhere.
This is just history, right?
Yeah, here. I was looking up some history before I even went in there, because before I even saw it, I found on Quora. This was post, like, 2 years ago. And they were like, Albert Einstein didn't have anything to do with the Manhattan Project, but if it wasn't for his letter that he sent... to the president after hearing about the developments in the scientific world, it's likely that nobody would have funded or tried to fund the Manhattan Project.
It could be.
Very, very likely that Albert Einstein's letter actually was the catalyst to make it happen.
What was the letter? Was it about how Germany was doing it, or what was
it? It essentially Neil deGrasse Tyson, the president. You know what I'm saying? Like, he explained it in a way that seemed like serious and convincing and like simple enough, but it's too heady for you to understand. But if you don't do something, you're probably going to lose.
That could be. I think it might have been inevitable anyway, because they heard that the Germans, and by probably one of the reasons that they heard was because of Einstein, was that the Germans were building nukes. They weren't about to be, you know, in a world where they couldn't nuke back.
Yeah.
So
for sure,
I think that was a big reason that they started the project.
Bottom line, y'all, you should definitely go see that movie, because I'm gonna start spoiling plot lines if we keep talking about it.
It's based on the book, for anybody who's read the book, American Prometheus.
Was it American or modern?
American Prometheus is the name of the
book. It's funny, because I was actually talking to somebody, one of my buddies at a bar the other night about Oppenheimer. He's like, did you like it? And I'm just like, oh, I love the part where he's like, don't spoil it. I'm like, okay, I'm not going to spoil it. He builds a nuke. Because I'm just like, I'm pretty sure that's common knowledge.
That's literally the premise of the movie.
I mean, that's just part of it. That's like the setup.
And that was casted perfectly. Cillian Murphy did an absolute bang-up job.
The part, so part of it, you know what?
Spoiler
Stop
warning.
Listening Spoiler for warning. Like 45 seconds if you're scared of this. Just go see it, okay?
Go see
You're going to love it.
Go see it.
But the part at the end, when was that supposed to be JFK who was reaming the Strauss guy?
Yeah, I think so.
And I didn't know the whole time, like, oh, he's Dr. Roboto or whatever is portraying, you know, the JFK.
Oh, is that what you're talking about, Rami Malek's character? No, that was not JFK.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Oh, is that what you're asking? No,
that's what I was.
No, I don't believe so.
Well,
no.
But I just thought
would've
that
been too
that
early
was.
In time.
I just thought that was so interesting, because think about how big of a deal like that bomb was, and like to see how the inner workings of the government were functioning to essentially shut up Oppenheimer afterwards, and then the fact that it was like JFK, okay, and then they assassinated him. And then they assassinated his brother, and now his brother's son is running for president right now, and I really like him.
Yeah.
I really like
him. How crazy is that? The Kennedys are still running for office.
And just the fact that
they have
this
very
year,
massive,
Oppenheimer comes out, and like that tag at the end of it, you just wonder if, like, you know, is Christopher, he's like a little bit of a prophet, I'm sure, and he just throws that in there. That part had to be at the very end of the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure that it definitely, the bomb's always going to be, especially now that we have the hydrogen bombs, it's always going to be a looming threat to humanity.
Yeah.
Always will be.
But, you know, at the same time, maybe the disincentivization of everybody being able to kill everybody hopefully is some sort of gridlock that helps.
Oh, that's the idea. That's the idea.
Good old-fashioned deterrence.
Nuclear deterrence, or as a lot of Americans call it, nuclear deterrence.
So, okay, let me ask you guys. Right now, is there, flipping subject back to music, is there anything...
Music is the bomb.
Is there anything... Ha, ha, ha. Don't say that in the airport. I remember there was a time I was using that phrase a lot. Oh, man, that's a bomb. And then all of a sudden, you know, TSA's like doubling up, and I'm
What's
like,
about?
Oh, I can't say anything anymore.
Like they're dogpiling,
oh, no.
Ripping off his shoes.
Oh, no. Yo, so anyways, in music, art, is there anything that's newer that you've enjoyed that's came out?
Artists?
Yeah. Or songs, even, like, sometimes...
Yeah. I always, like, have to find myself thinking more about this naturally when it comes to the modern world of more independent music, or if we're kind of dabbling in psychedelia, I think, which, of course, you know, Ryan and I are a fan of. You're a fan of, I know.
I haven't for a long time, though. Dreams and Drugs was really, like, I had to make a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I heard somebody say something about albums versus EPs or singles, too, is that when you do an album, you're making a statement.
Yeah.
And for me, I wouldn't be as creative as I am. I wouldn't know myself, like, on a very deep level. And I probably wouldn't have gotten over, like, a lot of anxiety if I didn't seek out my demons a little bit.
Mm. So that's kind of what you were doing.
And now I feel like I'm in a resting place, that I love myself. And I don't see any reason I want to mess with it.
Hmm. So So now that you love yourself, you're not going to make any more music.
Well, that's not true because I'm literally writing music like a madman.
Yeah, no, you are. Brent's been releasing it. Check out Brent's new singles. He's been releasing a ton of stuff.
Anyways, go on. You were.
Of course, Kevin Parker. You know, I mean, Kevin Parker's been such a monument.
Tame Impala.
Yeah, and
super big influence for me. Just not because even the music necessarily. First off, I thought it was like John Lennon reincarnated when I first heard Mind Games.
I could see it, yeah.
And then, but it was just the way that he went about it and how he earned his label's trust to be the last person touching his music.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, man, I don't want anybody else touching my music. There's some people who say, I don't trust myself. I don't this, that, and the other thing. But what it comes down to is setting rules. Don't listen to it too much until you think it's done enough to listen to make little tweaks. If you listen to it too much along the way, your ears become numb to it. So it's almost like you got to be. It's almost like sweets. It's like you feel so proud of yourself. You want to get that little dopamine rush, feeling like you did something good. Maybe listen to something more than you need to. Mm. And I've stopped doing that, and that's helped me like tremendously.
This helps you stay fresh.
Yeah, absolutely. So anything you need to do, whether it's take days off and come back to it, you know, deep down. I always like want to text somebody and be like, hey, could you listen to this? I just don't know. And it's like the thing is I do know. Mm. I do know if I love it or not. I do know if it's good enough or it's not.
Yeah.
And the thing is I know how much work goes in like redoing something when I know it's not good enough or trying something new because I'm like tired of working on something. But I'm like, I always know if it's good enough. And I think everybody does, but they don't want to admit it.
Sure, sure. And then, you know, if you're going to be putting it out there and submitting it for other people's approval, then you're never going to be happy with your body of work just in itself because you're going to be basing its merit on what other people think versus how you feel about it.
Yeah.
And it's most important that you feel good about it because it's coming from you.
I will say there's something, though, to other people listening to your music, though. So if I make just a ridiculous amount of money, like royalties or something like that, start streaming in, I would probably hire somebody who is, and it wouldn't even have to be like all the time, but it'd be like somebody who would literally just listen to music.
Mm.
Like maybe even a couple people would be like, hey, if you listen to this much, I'm going to pay you that much. Mm. Send me all your feedback. And like
your listening consultant.
Yeah, because there is something too when somebody's like, oh yeah, but you can watch them and they almost fall off at one part. You almost see their like attention go away for a second. Like that part's not good enough because it's losing them right there.
Sure, sure.
You know, I'll pick up on like bodily cues when somebody's listening to my music and I'll be like, shit, like they don't even need to say anything.
Sometimes that's not necessarily a good indicator all the time because, like, I am one of those dudes where, like, if we're doing, like, a song circle with friends or something, like, and they're always skipping, like, they'll put on a song and then they'll let it play for, like, 30 seconds and then they'll switch it. I'll just be like, dude, like, I was enjoying that. Like, why don't you just let it finish and then you can go to the next one, you know? As far as listening to music goes, I just realized I haven't been listening to shit.
I don't listen to anything, man. Hardly. I mean, like, I make a goal out of listening to music through a day.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it takes effort for me to listen to music.
I just haven't even really been paying attention. I just, like, because we've been playing so much, it's like, I've been, in the car, it's just kind of silence, and then, like, I haven't really been.
We were driving up to Mammoth, we listened to a bunch of stuff.
Yeah.
Usually with a Bruce Springsteen's. What the hell was Bruce Springsteen's? It was one of his latest albums.
They called like Country West or something like that.
Oh, it was kind of cliche.
I can consult Dr. Google,
but check the master database for it.
Check the master database because we actually.
It was almost like John Mayer's "Born and Raised." Kind of wanted to just take that little dip into the country.
I think it's something. It seems like he's probably been wanting to do for a while, and it was good. It was good. I mean, like I'm not like the biggest Springsteen fan, but I've always liked his stuff.
You cover any of his stuff?
Some.
Yeah, a little bit. Kind of a...
Name the songs.
The favorite one that we cover is actually the song that he wrote for the movie The Wrestler, the Darren Aronofsky film. And of course, it's of the same name, The Wrestler. And it's not, you know...
It's not at all a popular track of his, but
no,
we like
it's a
it.
Deep track. But I love... I don't know. We mess with it a lot, and I think the little nuances we add are definitely... You know, the harmonies. He doesn't normally have... He has a little bit of harmony in it, but... I think Ryan and I do it justice with our own rendition.
That's the cool thing when you have a musician who just likes music for music and you don't really care where it came from or whatever. It doesn't matter at all. It just becomes your thing. I think that's important. And it doesn't even matter if anybody knows the song. If it's good enough, like, you can play it even if you're at a gig where everybody just wants to hear covers or something like that.
Yeah. And I mean, I guess the best thing about playing covers when you're, you know, working for money.
You find that yet?
No, I'm still looking. The most recent album was called "Only the Strong Survive," but that wasn't the right one. You hook them in. You hook in your audience with what they might like. And I like doing that, but I don't like doing that too much because, you know, it's not like we're gonna be playing like a deep track from, like, you know, some crazy Grateful Dead live performance in like 1973, yeah. And then somebody's gonna come up and go like, "Do you know Morgan Wallen or Taylor Swift?" It's like, dude, I'm sorry, but like, what gave you the impression that I was gonna? And I'm not even saying I dislike either one of them. It's just like, it's not gonna be what you're gonna expect from us.
The impression that they got from you is that you're singing and you're playing a guitar,
and that's what those people do.
Yeah, that's what they do. So, like, you know,
at least it's what Taylor Swift used to do. I don't know if she's really doing that anymore.
Yeah,
she's just making people pee themselves.
She's making people pee themselves, and she's rolling in just piles and piles of money.
So. That's something we saw on the Tim Dillon podcast, and I'm sure it was talked about in other
things. She's Beatleizing now?
No, she's just. I guess her most recent tour was like so sensational that people,
that's what I mean by Beatleizing. People were all peeing themselves when the Beatles were playing live. It smelled, apparently it was like humid, they peed so much.
But like these like I guess these you know, millennial two middle-aged women were investing in adult diapers to avoid having to miss even a millisecond of the show, and I'm like, damn, that must have been a really good show, man.
Yeah. And here's the thing about, like, you know, because that's some serious dedication, that's some true fandom, but you go to a Grateful Dead show, people are dancing and they're urinating while dancing.
On each other.
And they're like, you know, and they don't need diapers, they're not afraid to make a mess.
They still do that? I don't know.
Because it should be a shared experience at the end of the day.
Though the album is called Western Stars, by the way. When Ryan and I were playing out Dylan Fest in Torrance, which was a really, really fun event, we should have we have some audio for that, which we will have to include, because I was really happy with how our performances went. We actually played Hey Mr. Tambourine Man, and they allowed us to do our own arrangement of it, which we were the closest was. It was more akin to the Birds version, you know.
Okay.
Which fell in with how the rest of the band did it. Shout out to Andy and Renee and Hard Rain. That was an excellent time.
Give them a listen. They're beautiful musicians and beautiful people.
Yeah, and they're doing a lot to keep the great kind of folk and rock of Bob Dylan alive.
If you live in Southern California by the Bay Area, they do it every year on Bob Dylan's birthday. So please make sure to check it out. It was a really, really good time. And if you love Bob Dylan's music, they do it justice, and they have some incredible...
They play it way better.
and they include... they sound fantastic, and they have great guests. One of which... Well, he wasn't a guest. He was just in the standard band. But his name is Barty Rifkin. Absolutely had some great conversations with that gent. And... phenomenal slide guitar player and a sweet, sweet person. And we were talking to him a little bit because he was saying he didn't play out a lot because we're thinking about different ways, you know, living in SoCal. It's like, we're getting tired of playing out. When we play for appreciative...
Playing out, just playing, you know, just for
playing for the wrong audiences that don't appreciate.
Or maybe playing because you feel like you need to.
Playing out of necessity.
It's definitely out of necessity.
And
I ain't working. I ain't going back to Costco, man.
Yeah.
Yeah, no kidding, man. I'm not going back to serving. I only did it for a second. I did it for like less than a little
I never
a year.
Actually went to Costco, but... Oh. But it was something we considered doing when COVID happened.
Yeah, well, no, I mean, we didn't, like, seriously.
Dude, there was no way. I was, like, 11... No, I was, like, 10 years of full-time in of playing music. And I'm, like, I'm my own business. There's absolutely no reason why I should have to do something else because I'm being forced.
Yeah.
And, I mean... It took a while for unemployment checks to come in, and it was like backlog. But I was getting scared for a second.
Yeah, of course. Yeah, that was horrible.
I will say, but I felt like the folks who were doing stuff which took a lot of skill, like technical skill and learning and schooling or whatever, for them to go work at like a grocery store or something. Not that it's not a noble thing to do. It's good and stuff, but like, I would be in such a dark place, oh, I think, if I had to do
why do you think so much of America's depressed? I mean, all over the world, everybody's doing things that they think that they have to be doing. And I know there have been plenty of people who say, like, you know, like, well, you know, it's like you have to do some things out of necessity. You got to pay your dues. You have to do what you got to do. And I agree with that, of course. And it's like, you know, maybe it's easy for me to say I'm not married. I don't have kids. But I don't think that you have to imprison yourself a life that you don't want, as long as you're willing to work hard towards something that you're dedicated to and you find is fulfilling. But a lot of people still at this, you know, at this age even, or in their late 30s, even early 40s, a lot of them still don't even know what fulfills them. And that's what I think would be a difficult thing to deal with, because then it's like, you know, what do you do then?
Along those lines, I don't even think it would have mattered how I made my own money.
Mm.
But I couldn't really work for somebody. Mm. You know, that's the thing. It's like when you don't have a boss for such a long time.
I'm almost doing that too.
I'd almost like figure out how to like resell things on the internet before I would go work.
You're dropshipping for Alibaba.
No, I'm not even kidding.
I'm still thinking about doing that.
Yeah.
There's plenty of people who have a lot of success with the dropshipping.
It doesn't matter to me. I mean, I felt like I wanted to be an entrepreneur. That I was sure of that before I was ever considering doing music.
Mm. Yeah.
And I was not good at math, and I just got offered to go on the cruise ship before I was finishing COD. I got my associates, but like, I literally just took the closest degree, which took out the ability to get the business degree so that I could go to NIU, because I was like, at this point, I really don't want to be into like, I don't want to take out a loan when I could take out a loan for gear and already start being an entrepreneur.
Yeah.
Like, why wouldn't I take out, like, if you took a whole schooling and bought what you need to do, what you really want to do with, you'd be like way further ahead than, like, you know, just watch some YouTube videos. Every time you don't know how to do something, watch a YouTube video.
Yeah, I do think
that. You know, just type that in.
You know what's fun? What's a nice little fun fact? It's way, way harder for, like, an 18-year-old to get, like, a $10,000 business loan than it is for an 18-year-old to get, like, a $100,000
which
college loan.
Is exactly why it's so bad, why it should be not like that. It should. It's just...
This goes to show you this isn't exactly those guys aren't exactly focused on trickling down, if you know what I mean. So it's like, oh, we're going to help people out. It's just like, no, you're going to put people in debt and collect their interest. That's what you want to do.
Absolutely.
And it's like, you know that's what you want to do. Quit bullshit, you know.
If I didn't want to be an entrepreneur, I would have done that.
Mm.
But because I was already starting to think like an entrepreneur, even though I didn't do anything, I was always so average. I slept in classes, and I took one entrepreneurship class in high school, and I got an A+ in like the top whatever in the class, and gave the presentation in front of the whole class of like a boxing gym. And that was like, I've never got recognized for doing anything before. And the first time a friend started playing guitar in front of me when I was 17, I learned how to play the chords of Free Fallin', and I could kind of sing with it like the first day.
Was that how old you were when you started playing at 17?
Yeah.
That makes so much sense. I don't know why that makes so much sense.
Ryan and I were the Jack Blake, you know, we were the Jack Blake kids.
We were the kids who were playing guitar since we were like 12. Yeah, and
we're the chubby mop top kids.
And then Guitar Hero got really popular when we were in high school. And then
we were already playing
people were just like, oh, well, we play guitar too because we play Guitar Hero. And I'm just like, no, you don't.
Oh, you don't. You don't. You have no idea what you're talking about. And I mean, we were already starting to perform by the time we were 14.
That's insane, dude.
So I always knew. My parents were just saying, like, you know, what do you want to do? He's like, oh, you know, it's like maybe something like a little bit safer, blah, blah, blah. You know, you should go to business school, which, of course, that stuff is absolutely important. I mean, there's so much that you can learn from that realm. Because
I wanted to be an astronaut when I was a kid.
Yeah, when you were a little kid.
And then I realized I was afraid of heights.
I wanted to be an architect just because I was like, oh, I could build that big old, like, I could build, like, the Sears Tower. You know what I'm saying? I know it's the Wills. Is the Willis Tower.
The Big Willie. I call it the Big Willie.
We don't call it the Willis Tower.
Yeah.
We call it the Big Willie.
And then I realized I needed like math to do that, and I was like, ooh.
That's true. Yeah.
Ooh, gee. Nah. I thought about the
practical myth.
I thought about the architect thing as well, right, when I was in like fourth grade. And my, you know, I was never strong in mathematics either. So my parents, you know, just like, well, astronaut, architect, you know, you got to be like good at math to do both of those things, right? So I'm just like, all right, well, guess I'll go work at Juul.
We're so impressionable when we're kids, though. I swear to you, the reason I wanted to be an architect was somebody just gave me like a cool book, and I was looking through the book, and I'm like, I want to be an architect. It's like, that's all it took?
That's different than firemen or policemen, you know?
No, but I mean, if you were to show a kid some sort of cool book with that when they're, you know, between the ages of, what, 10 and 14 or something like that, you can spark something that would not catch fire with an adult so easily.
True. Well, of course.
Pun not intended, but works.
It works pretty well. I just always knew that I wanted to be a musician. Always.
We watched Gumby and Alvin and the Chipmunks as kids, and they were all in rock bands. So we were just like,
ooh, that's cool. I loved Alvin and the Chipmunks.
Kids, we liked that stuff. We thought that was cool. We were 11 when we saw School of Rock, and then by the time I was 15, it's like, I was saying, like, you know, my folks are saying, you got to go to college, and we did. We went and graduated in 4 years, and it was a great experience. I wouldn't take it back for anything, but, like, I was going, you know, I just want to play music. I know for a fact that that's what I want to do. So, you know, went to school, worked in the film biz in Chicago for a while. To put it lightly, wasn't for me. Ryan tried it for a bit too, and then he didn't do it as long as I did. He was teaching music when I was doing that at the School of Rock, ironically.
Yeah.
And then after that, we were just focused on just lining up more jobs, because found out we could just do it at our own pace, at our own speed, really, and make the money that we want to make, for the most part at the time. And it was more money than I was making, you know, busting my back day in and day out.
When you first started making money, how old were you? From it?
From music?
From music? Well, we had done paying gigs when we were in high school, but we started like actually making money probably at around 22
or 23. When was it like, I don't need to get a part-time job because I'm playing music? I was playing like 4 Potbellies a week.
Oh yeah, kind of.
When I was going to COD, yeah. And that to me at the time was like hell yeah.
Yeah,
like, I was working at Potbelly's at the same time, and I would just remember like sweeping floors and like doing stuff for 8 hours, or I could just play a 2-hour set at Potbelly's, and I'd get like a free sandwich when it first started.
Yeah, that was pretty sweet.
I was like, that's way better.
Yeah, I got a free sandwich, and I get unlimited refills.
Yeah, I remember that. I know the name.
So, Pete Jive, musician around here, you also look him up, Spotify, iTunes, all that. He just put out an album, pressed it to vinyl, actually, and it's really good. And Pete's just a beautiful human being. He was working at Potbelly's, and I taught him how to sweep the floors. I taught him how to do that.
They're like, Brent, knew how to use a broom before you.
Teach Pete how to do this over here. I'm like, okay, Pete.
Yeah, bro, you've never swept?
But he played there, too. So they don't even do music anymore.
No, I mean, I've been.
I've never seen. I don't think I ever saw anyone play at Potbelly, but I knew that they did it.
I think I did years and years and years ago.
I'm going to say, and I mean no disrespect, because I think they might be raising the wage on it or whatever, but I used to play Hampton Socials a bunch. Mm-hmm. They're a little too far from me, and they just don't pay enough for me to get there.
No. Yeah.
But if you were to live right next to one of them,
wouldn't be
too I'd bad. Probably still do it. It's yeah. pretty. It's pretty much, you know, they're really nice people. Who are working
nice
those, running
too.
Those.
Really nice
the owners
place.
Are awesome. Yeah, I think that might be the closest thing, especially if you just consider inflation. Maybe that's like the new Potbellies.
Well, that's why we got to start considering inflation at our end of things,
yeah,
too.
Yeah, seriously.
Because
where's
like
our inflation?
It's like, you know, we have to inflate our prices as everyone else is going to. We can't just continue on the same trajectory that we're at when everything else is costing 10% more. So... But that's another thing. It's like we come back to Illinois and like, you know, we're like fucking rock stars here. You know, it's like out in California we have a lot of we've received a lot of praise, gotten a lot of great gigs, done some really cool stuff. But it makes you realize that shift in perspective, like, you know, where you need to be where you need to be focusing your time and energy and where you should stop wasting your time and stop selling yourself short. And that's something that, unfortunately, well, they call that paying dues. And, you know, I'm 31 now and I don't want to do it anymore. So yeah. It takes time. It's not like it's just going to be like, I don't want to do it anymore. So, you know, everyone else should bend over backwards to, you know, change everything for me. It's like, no, we got to take it upon ourselves to seek out and pursue this more this more profitable path with what we're doing. So
the reason I brought up Hampton Social was because I think that there's a place, like there needs to be a place that is like a stepping stone to where you can prove your value so that you can make more money.
Yeah.
And I don't think that every place should just go, we all need to like set the bar up here and only like musicians don't even get hired unless if they're at this bar. And like, it's just like a jump from nothing to, you know, free gigs to like, now you're making more than you'd make if you got a job or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think it needs to be there. I think it's a really beautiful thing, man. I mean, if I didn't have Potbellies, no way in hell I'd play at Potbellies now.
Well, of course.
I do think
there are places that need to maintain the, like, hey, you could start here. And I do think that places that claim to be, like weird, like a great music venue, need to raise their bar. Because, like, I have seen so many places where it's just like, you know, we're like premier, and then they'll have a band in there, and it'll, you know,
sound like a high school band.
You know what I'm about to say? It's like, it'll be like some 60-year-old dudes wearing wigs and pretending to be Bon Jovi, and it just sucks ass.
Stop the fucking Bon Jovi thing already. Can we stop that? Please stop. Stop wearing wigs. Stop playing dress up. Learn how to play. Learn how to mix your equipment.
Like, do people love Bon Jovi that much that we need like 200 mediocre tribute acts to it?
Bon Jovi's retired. There's got to be at least 500 other cover bands I can go see. I just, I'm clawing my face off right now. I need this.
It's like, well, please just stop.
You all clearly.
It's just like, maybe. When you're here, it's every other thing you see.
It's so common out here, man.
It's like, whoa, who's playing it? Oh, it's a Bon Jovi act.
Well,
why?
Okay, well, you know, I'm not even going to say anything about that. I'm just going to let that. That's fine.
Let it ride, baby.
It's like if everything was like a Rick Springfield act. It's like, it'd be one thing if there was like one, right? Or a couple. But it's like every other place you go, it's like, oh, it's a Rick Springfield tribute. It's like, why? I mean, do people really want that? Like, do people need that so much?
I just need it so bad, man.
Hey, I mean, supply and demand. I guess there's a high demand, you know what?
I guess.
You know, it's just some capitalism at work, yo.
Yeah, and they say money talks, though. I don't really think money was doing much of the talking that I was seeing.
There was a tornado that night, so.
That didn't help, but I mean, this band was terrible. The room was hard.
It was a hard room
to have dialed in well. But I mean, these guys sounded like they had pretty much like just started playing. And they were not good.
It's okay. I mean, it just depends. Like, what are you going to charge then?
Yeah,
like,
they're probably getting paid more than we are, and that's why it's not.
That's what infuriates us.
Well, if a bar owner is willing to pay that, or if ticket sales or whatever happens,
it was a contract deal. I can tell you.
Well, what I see happening in like pop music is, as I personally think that there is a lot more to do with what can make money than the music being even really musical anymore.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the beautiful...
But that makes money?
Yeah. See, I used to like be like grossed out by pop country, and now I feel like it's like turning into not country anymore, and it I kind of like it now, and I am very happy that there is a mainstream thing which has like some musicality and like passion and some originality really coming through.
Who's an artist that you can cite that's doing it for you in that realm currently?
Chris Stapleton's the man, yeah, dude. And then I don't even know who it was. But
the funny thing, he's more country than a lot of the people who are claiming to be like the most country. Because like, you know, country's always had this element of grit to it. It's always had this element of grit, whether it was from being like poor Appalachia bluegrass. It's like, and then it kind of switched to like rockabilly, country, western, like all that stuff has like a rocky nature to it, which is why he is very rootsy when it comes to country. So it was like Sturgill.
Yeah. And honestly, even though I'm not like listening to it in my free time, from having to learn one of the songs for a party, I think Morgan Wallen is actually really good. I think his take on some subjects that he's writing about, he'll write it in just a way. I don't know if he's writing all his music still, but like there's a lot of authenticity coming through and it's hitting perfectly in the mainstream.
Interesting, yeah.
And so he's just crushing it. And I listen to production.
I wouldn't really know if I'm being honest, because
I haven't heard much, but I've heard good things.
I listen to the production on things too, and I'll see like, man, the fact that he doesn't put any bass in at all, and then all of a sudden like the chorus comes down, and then it sounds like the biggest hit in the world. It's like that sort of stuff. I can appreciate that production, and I'm like, man, he's playing like stadiums now. I'm like, that probably hits so hard.
Oh yeah, he's popped up really high. He's doing a great job. And you know what? I'm just gonna come right out here and say it. He wears the mullet well, man.
I haven't even seen what he looks like.
He wears the mullet well.
He has a mullet.
Oh yeah, he's, and you know what? I sure think he makes it look pretty good.
I think that dude was probably born with a mullet.
Hey, have you heard of Theo Vaughn, comedian?
Oh yeah,
yeah. He rocks a solid mullet.
Guys were born with suspended licenses.
I had a buddy who told me when I had longer hair that I should try the mullet, and I'm gonna go, maybe someday.
It's like probably back in it's like back in style all of a sudden.
Well,
like,
when did that happen? I feel like if you have a mullet, you're allowed to say and do things you can't do without a mullet, because they're like, well,
take one look at the back of your head and they go, all right, again. I'll give you a pass.
If you were trying to, do your hair all, maybe GQ and stuff like that, and you were walking around in a suit, not allowed to say that.
You get your ass kicked.
You got a mullet.
You get your ass kicked for saying something like that.
You're already kicking your own ass a little bit wearing the mullet, so we're going to let you go with that one. We know you probably...
People know there's a degree of jest to what you're saying, but they also just go like, oh, man, I don't know. This guy could be packing some heat. I'm not going to mess with him.
That's true.
What are examples of that?
I don't know.
Example one. Why don't you just shut up? Example number two, go back to where you're from. Any others?
Try that in a small town.
Yeah, that's probably one of the more significant ones at this point.
Oh my gosh. I love it. I love it. Well, guys, we should probably get to wrapping this up. I think that was a nice little... nice little chill session.
Introductory. This is our second podcast. We did one with
second podcast ever.
Yeah, right, with Charlie Radar. Charlie.
Yeah. Yeah.
Hope he's doing well. He's a funny
shout
guy.
Shout out, Charlie. I'm the worst at it.
We got really drunk on his. I mean, it was because he had some challenge at the end. Where
at the end we had the gun a PBR.
It was like, yeah, he always had a PBR. It was either that or Miller High Life.
It was
one of the two champagnes of beers. And
one of the classy hipster / white trash beers.
After that, I remember at the end of that, we were like super, super drunk. But here, I feel quite stimulated. You made a
fancy
coffee drink. It's we probably shouldn't be drinking yet.
Yeah.
I think we might be doing that together a little bit later, but
Of course, well,
he hasn't been.
I haven't even told anybody, and I'm not trying to make a big announcement of it, but I was trying not to drink for a year. And I'm at 5 months now.
Yeah.
So woo! Didn't even tell nobody.
All right. Yeah. That's a great accomplishment, yeah, man. Thanks. I'm sure your head feels very clear.
Yeah, it does. It's super nice.
Train I got to hop back on for sure.
Focus on the output versus the input.
Yeah, I'm going to be at Lollapalooza tomorrow just going. I've never even been there. It's going to be one of those things, once in a while I'll play a party or something. I'm like, dang, I can smell like the beer, like the fresh pour of the keg. I'm just like, ooh.
Oh, Lolly, you see a lot of coked out party bros and party broettes who are usually they're all college age. The guys talk like this and they sniff a lot.
They're in the middle of figuring it out.
And the girls wear crop tops and they go,
Kyler, we gotta go over to this stage. We gotta go over to Perry stage. Kyler, where are you going, Kyler?
I sent an email. I looked up who was running Perry stage because there was a TBA. I sent a serious email to them. I was like, put me on.
Yeah, I'm sure they responded to that promptly.
They better. I think it was like 3C. Like, I had to look it up. I had to like go through a couple pages to find out who even runs that stage. It's not an obvious thing.
I couldn't tell you. I've only been there once.
No, they don't tell you. Yeah. They don't, unless if I'm missing some, but I had to do some research. I was asking ChatGPT. It didn't help me at all.
Oh, jeez. Well, speaking of ChatGPT, shouldn't we at least mention AI before wrapping up?
Oh, yeah.
What
that's
about
a good, it? Yeah, yeah, sure.
Well, I mean, I feel like we should at least talk about how, you know, it could either bring on the golden age of music and art, or it could be completely detrimental to all creativity.
The rebellion against it will bring on the new golden age of art and creativity. But if people are planning on seriously implementing this into their creative endeavors, is going to further suck the soul out of everything that's beautiful in this world.
So I'm not going to take it as a personal, jab, but I've been heavily using AI.
Oh, okay, I thought you were going to say heavily considering it.
No. I've released 3 singles in the past 3 months, and I would not have been able to make that cool of artwork that fast, hardly paying anything for the service, but I am a graphic designer too, so I can manipulate images further if something's weird.
So there's still a creative element.
You still need to, you essentially take whatever it is and you have to, like, it's almost like it's dreaming and you have to guide the AI's dream into it producing what you want.
I see that. So what kind of pay cut are you giving yourself?
If you look at none, man. I mean, I saved a bunch of money.
No, I was making a strike joke.
Yeah, like I've paid money for people to make artwork for me on all my other releases, unless if I did it myself. And this is like half the price of one commission, and I get to make like as many as I want. So the past 3 singles, I took a lot of time making sure I loved them, but those AI artworks don't scream that they're AI artworks.
Like you can. No, it's getting to be so uncanny, in fact, that I just saw something about a woman, an Instagram model, you know, cute little blonde bikini girl. I don't remember what the name was, but it turns out she's not real. And the photos look real. Like you know how sometimes you got to do like a little bit of a double take? The photos look real. It looks like a real person, and it's not. Just not.
Honestly, when we're done with this, I'm going to show you real quick. Y'all can make an image. I'll just send it to you.
All right. Okay. Cool. Yeah, make your own AI image.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it's crazy, dude. Use Discord for the Midjourney, and it's like, it's a chat service, but they've built their software into the chat service and it routes through their servers or something. And it's just nuts that you're talking to a bot on a server to generate your artwork. It's not even like its own program.
One more thing that I got to say about this is, remember when we were talking, so I guess who's the woman who directed Lost in Translation? Was it
I can't remember.
Coppola's daughter?
Sophia Coppola?
Yeah, I think it was. And then the dude who directed Her. Apparently they had like a long relationship for a while, and this is just something I heard, and Lost in Translation was like her telling of their like split up, because I guess it was very painful for both of them.
Okay.
And Her was like his telling of it, you know. But going to on the subject of, you know, those movies came out pretty far apart from one another, probably like, I don't know, like 15 years apart from each other. It was a while.
At least a decade.
And I remember watching Her. I thought it was pretty good. You know, like, I thought it was pretty good. It was an interesting movie. Joaquin Phoenix is obviously great in everything he's in, but, like,
so is Scarlett Johansson.
Yeah, she's a good actress as well. But the thing that I remember thinking is, I was just like, because I think that was 2013 or 2014 when Her came out. And I remember watching it and going, like, shit, this is going to happen soon. You know, like, I'm like, I know, I don't want to believe it, but this is going to happen soon. And it's happening now. People are starting to, like, form relationships with AIs.
Yeah. Beautiful.
Like, what the fuck?
Yeah.
Well,
oh, wait, no, next season of 90 Day Fiancé is sure to be really juicy when you catch it. Like, it's beyond imaginary, not even a grifter anymore.
Wait,
it's
just wait, robot. Just wait till that starts. Like, people starting drama with robots.
I actually, I was going to make a video where I wrote this whole thing out about what I think the emergence of AI is, and it's really trippy. I probably shouldn't even say it right now because it's too deep of a hole to
dive
into.
You on a, it's going to put you on an FBI watch list.
Yeah, I probably shouldn't even talk about it. sorry, y'all. Sorry.
Jeez, what a teaser. Yeah, I guess that's a teaser for next episode.
Tune in next week for the explanation of the AI.
Oh, I love that. I love that. Yeah, I'm going to do a podcast where I just literally talk about that. How about? And here's the title. AI is God waking up.
Ooh. A bunch of Christians just lost their fucking minds.
Okay. All right, y'all. It's been a freaking pleasure. Let's get you playing a song for you if you're down.
Yeah, let's play some.
Yeah, what do you want to play?
I'm always down to bring out some Liquid Lover.
Oh, you want to play that one?
Unless you want to do something different.
Gotta be very careful with this.
We'll pause it if we have to, but we might not even have to pause it.
I think we might be good. I'll just make sure.
I made sure everything was...
Brent is entrusting me to a very fine...
musical instrument calls his own. This is a beauty right here. Every time I see him playing it, I get jealous.
You have a volume there too, so just adjust your volume as you need to. I'm gonna throw on some reverb.
Well, being that in today's society, there are many things that will alter our minds. Sometimes it can be faith-based or not. This is a song called Liquid Lover, and it was inspired vastly by the psychedelic movement.
Psychedelic. He was on drugs!
One, two.
She's all around and everywhere. Magic with ever the colors you make me see.
Me. Hey.
and she always pleases me.
Yes,
check it out.
Awesome.
First EP. Listen to our album Melancholy Days. We got a lot of different music. We got new music coming, hopefully at the end of 2023 2024. I've been writing, so please listen to us, follow us on social media, Common Allies,
and
follow Brent, follow his podcast, buy his albums. He's just amazing and we love him.
Buy our shit.
Much love, guys. Hey, that was really fun doing this podcast with you. You know, we talked about it before, but we always ended up making like a music video of us all playing. I'm like, nah, I want to promote you guys this time. I think that sharing my friends with the world is just really a fun thing for me to do.
I don't know. Thanks for the chance, man. This is fun.
Yeah. All right, guys. Well, you know, good luck at all the rest of your shows and traveling home. And honestly, we're probably hanging out later. So
yeah. We'll bro down.
Catch you later.
So if you're in the neighborhood area, come out and say hey to us.
Peace.